serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, marking 75 years since a kamikaze attack on the aircraft carrier USS Ticonderoga left more than 100 men killed or wounded. You heard from Bob Mettauer, who cared for some of the wounded and incapacitated, but was faced with the realization that he could do nothing to save his best friend, Eddie Mazur. After Bob shared his story on Hometown Heroes, he was able to finally connect to Eddie's family and has since gotten to know Fred Mazur, Eddie's nephew, quite well. You heard from both Bob and Fred, and in a moment you'll hear from the curator of the museum now charged with honoring that Gold Star hero's legacy. But first, I want to give Fred Mazur the chance to share anything more about that uncle he never had the opportunity to meet. Fred?
Well, you know, I just touched on Eddie's athletic prowess, but he was training as a machinist with Westinghouse in Pittsburgh. He was so well respected. He was very intelligent, as you could read in a lot of these letters that we donated to soldiers and sailors, that there were people really crushed by the loss of him because he had so much to offer the world. You know, you just wonder what could have been had he stayed alive. But, you know, time goes on and we didn't have him. And you can only wonder what might have been, you know.
And I'm looking forward to taking a look the next time I'm in Pittsburgh. What are you hoping that people who see that, people who come across that, who read and hear and are learning about your uncle, what are you hoping they get out of that? What are you hoping they come away with?
Here's a hero, a local hero in Pittsburgh. He lived only about 20 miles away. I'm sure that this will touch the hearts of people in the Ellicottisquee Valley, which is where we live, and that's New Kensington is part of it. Just a story of a local hero. It's a good story, and I think people would be interested in it. I hope you make it to Pittsburgh, and I hope that you can look at some of the artifacts that we gathered. I mean, up there is a gigantic room with this gigantic table and a whole bunch of chairs. And we had everything spread out up there. I mean, uniforms and Purple Heart and letters and the diary. When the Ticonderoga was built, it sailed out of Portsmouth, Virginia, and went down through the Panama Canal up the other side and went to California before it shipped out to the Pacific, where Eddie eventually met his demise. But he has a diary, that whole thing, and that's down there too.
Wow.
Well, I am so glad that you found me and put me in touch with Bob, because this got everything going again. You know, it had kind of dropped off with me too, except on January 21st, which, by the way, is the birthday of my baby girl. So she's in her early 30s, and every birthday for the past 30 years, I mean, Eddie comes to mind. So it re-enters your mind, you know, it never goes away. I think of him a lot. I wish I would have known him. Maybe in another life, another time, maybe I will meet him in my heart, and I hope that happens. So he's a guy at the top of my list I want to meet.
Amen. And he's on my list now, too. That's Fred Mazur, who also introduced me to Michael Krause, curator of the museum that'll be sharing Eddie Mazur's World War II story with visitors in the future. He was kind enough to make some time for us as well. So, Michael, what is the Soldiers and Sailors Hall in Pittsburgh? Where did it come from? Why does it exist? And what do people see when they arrive?
Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hall and Museum opened in 1910. It was built by Civil War veterans who petitioned the county of Allegheny in western Pennsylvania to erect a memorial to their service. So, you know, this is almost 50 years out from the end of the Civil War, and these men are growing older, and they wanted this type of a memorial left to the community. And it's a very large building. It's a historic landmark. There's an auditorium in the center with 2,300 seats, flanked by hallways. And around the hallways are around 40 display cases, tall display cases, built into niches. And that's where we display our artifacts. But above the auditorium is a ballroom, and most famously, Silence of the Lambs was filmed there. Some of the scenes from Silence of the Lambs filmed there. We've always been a memorial to American service personnel, starting with the Civil War. We feel like the Civil War veterans passed it down to the Spanish-American War veterans, the World War I veterans, World War II veterans, Korea, Vietnam, and now the current conflict. So people started giving us stuff in 1910, and continue to do so today, like the Maser family recently. They give us artifacts or mementos or pieces of uniforms, medals, letters, photographs. A lot of it we can display, but probably most of it is in our archive. And we look at ourselves as a way to preserve their memories, the service people's memory, by housing, storing, and caring for these artifacts, making them available, some of them on display and some for researchers or people to come and see. We really try to honor the memory of anybody who wore a uniform from the Civil War till today.
So when you get something on a Gold Star hero like Eddie Maser, killed in the line of duty 75 years ago this month, how heavy of a responsibility is that to showcase that in a way that does justice to what that person did? And how do you expect that to unfold there at Soldiers and Sailors?
It is a big responsibility. Families bring us things that are very meaningful. And it sometimes takes a lot of time for a family to decide to give up these type of things. Look at Eddie. I mean, his Purple Heart is here. The contents of his locker on board the Ticonderoga, including all the paperwork listing what was there, his letters, some books from childhood and school and photographs. And, you know, that represents to a family the whole from the missing soldier. So we look at it as a big responsibility. And we, of course, can't make a display out of everything, but we do take a lot of care in documenting, archiving, numbering, photographing, recording, and putting these things the things that we don't display away so that they can be retrieved and looked at. And we don't know when that'll be. You know, that might be next week we'll do a display with a certain theme, or it might be 10 years from now when there is another curator and another administration here and they're looking for themes. So our job is to preserve in a dignified way and to interpret and to make available those kind of things.
Well, in light of that, maybe this is a tough one to answer, but that's what I was going to ask next is, when do you expect a display honoring Eddie Maser to be something folks visiting the Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hall can actually see and experience there?
When this material came in, the whole family came with it. It was great. We all sat down and looked at everything piece by piece and talked about their memories. And we have, I think I mentioned, about 40 niche display spaces in our building, and they go chronologically through military time frame. Our Navy displays are in need of upgrading. And when this material walked in, my thought right away was, this is a great thing. Eddie's stuff is a great story to tell, and it would be wonderful for people to see these things. So it's targeted to go into a display, and that may take us 2 years to get it there, because we need to remove the old pieces, redo the cabinets, and then write labels and build stands for this stuff. But I see his story being featured in the time frame of 2 years here at Soldiers and Sailors.
And maybe it's a little early to answer this one since you haven't put it together yet, but is there an element to his story or the display that's going to tell his story that you expect to really get people's attention or draw them in or give them a perspective on World War II and the men and women who carried it out that maybe they didn't have before?
Yeah, I mean, we try to focus on the person and then the history that person brings with them rather than, you know, the war and then the person. We're looking at the person and then what that person passed through. So there are some things that are really evocative, like his Purple Heart, of course, his uniforms that he had. And some of this was compiled by the family after his death. It wasn't with him at the time of death. But one thing particularly kind of tugs at your heartstrings are some little gifts that he had sent his mother, some perfume and a few pins, and they're on a box, and it says, "Gifts from Eddie." And, you know, if we tell Eddie's story, and also the backstory of him being an athlete and a gymnast, so there's some material here, including a gymnastics jersey that he wore and a photograph of him wearing it, that we can make a person out of him and somehow bring people closer to him and even to this day feel his loss.
And I'm sure, you know, when you run into people, you get questions about what you do and why you do it. So you probably have a good answer for this one. Why, in your mind, is it important that the stories of our veterans be shared today, even if it's 75 years ago, in your case, when some of your displays go back to the Civil War? Why is it important that people today have that kind of knowledge and information?
because we have to know that these were real people and not just pictures in books and dates. We have to know that, you know, they grew up and they had families and they went to school and they played. And when the time came, they enlisted and served their country. Many of them didn't come back. And the ones that did come back had to fit back into the world, you know, that they had left, maybe with the effect that their service took on them, or like World War II veterans who just kind of, you know, put it aside and kept going. But I think it's important for people to know that in a continuum, that these were people like you and me, and not just characters or movie stars or statues in a park, but they were really real people. And I think that's the most valuable thing about what we need to remember about them. And then as people, we can look at them in their experiences in these historic events. I know you're a long way from Pittsburgh, but if people ever come here, this place is really worth seeing. And I would encourage them to look at our website. It's soldiersandsailorshall.org. I think they would be pleased to know what we do here and that this place exists. We're pretty unique. And I'd love to share it with folks from California or anywhere in the country. So please come and see us.
I'm going to make a point to do that. And I hope wherever you're listening today, I hope you'll consider doing so as well. I don't know about you, but the story we heard today reminds me that it's never too late to act upon that curiosity or that tug on your heart when it comes to a loved one's service to our country. There are always more layers of that onion to peel away. And so often you end up finding something you didn't expect to find. Thanks again to Bob Mettauer. We'll be praying for you, Bob, and look forward to celebrating when you reach that 100,000-mile mark as Bicycle Bob in Santa Maria. Thanks so much for listening to Hometown Heroes today. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.